nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, we're joined by nonprofit superstar Becky Falak from the Good Times Project to talk about her role within the organization, recent victories, and how she has overcome so many obstacles to raise more money for her mission. Let's get right into it.
I know that when we first started talking, y'all didn't have a big staff.
No.
You know, and even if you're adding two, it's still not a giant staff. You're probably at like five or six.
We have five now,
right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good. Awesome. Yeah. To help you, I hope, yes. And
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, my job is essentially turning into two full-time jobs and a part-time job. So.
Well, then that's normal nonprofit work, though. I mean, that's
no
just,
joke.
But you said you've got two new people. Well, there's always a challenge when you do that. You go, oh, yeah, we've got two new people. Oh, wait a minute. We've got two new people. Somebody's got to train them. Somebody's
now I got to train them. Yeah.
Get them, you know, in acclimated to the way we do things and understanding the mission, making introductions. It's a crazy challenge.
It is. Yes. I'm looking forward to the time when things get easier, but we're not quite there yet. It is.
No.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot, but it's, you know, good things on the horizon.
That's awesome.
You know, you just said something I think is so interesting. You said, well, I'm looking for the time that it gets easy or easier.
Right.
And I don't know that that's really the way that ever works. I don't know. And I'll tell you. So I started doing this triathlon thing about a couple of years ago. Trevor got me going in. And I kept thinking, well, you know, it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. No, it doesn't. It never does. Yeah, maybe I get a little faster. Maybe I go a little longer. But no, I just can't figure out it gets easier.
Yeah.
When I think of triathlon now, I think of pain. And it used to be that way. Yeah. I think of like, seriously, I think when I think of triathlon, I jumped into one after not doing one for like, I did plenty of racing, but like I didn't do a real hard triathlon for like 10 years. And I jumped into one in September. And like, I literally only think of like the pain in my chest, like the cardiac arrest feeling. Because it was just so hot, you know, it's just like, what, like hotly contested, you know what I mean? Like 75 minutes, it is to the watt, you know, it's like pedal down. It was like, oh my God, I don't think I want to do this again.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
The main thing I'm looking forward to is I had been straddling fundraising and programming. So we run summer camps and we do some camps in the winter and do single day programs and stuff. So I was running all of those and also doing all of our fundraising. And so one of the new full-time jobs is taking over all of my programming stuff. So I'm very excited to just be able to fully focus on fundraising. I mean, I felt like I was kind of, I wouldn't say doing the bare minimum, but like I definitely was just doing what needed to get done. And now I'm looking forward to the opportunity to try new things and do, you know, get creative and not just kind of do what absolutely has to be done.
Well, watch out, world, because if you were doing bare bones, you were doing really, really well.
Yeah. So. Well, I think that's something that happens a lot though in the nonprofit world. I think, you know, it's this,
you're wearing many
hats.
Well,
I'm running programming because we're doing camps through the summer and we're doing programming. Oh, wait. Okay. Now I got to switch, put my fundraising hat on. And it's like this whole re-gear of everything you're doing and, you know, optimally. And I know, and the unique thing about is this situation is it's not unique. I mean, probably the majority of people we talk to, I've never met somebody who said we're fully staffed and everybody knows their place.
Right.
I've never in 30 years have met a nonprofit that was there.
Because, right.
You know, you're either growing, developing, things are changing, you know, just the evolution of it. And we know the majority of nonprofits in the country are very small. You know, typically, I think, I don't know what the average staff is. I think it's like three something.
That makes sense.
It's really small. And so, you know, you do have to wear those multiple hats. So tell me, because you've been doing this, and what do you do, Becky, to switch over that to say, okay, I'm in fundraising mode now? Tell me, talk us through that a little bit, how you kind of get your fundraising hat on.
That's a great question. And one of the things I think that I honestly struggled with the most was switching gears of especially working with kids and talking to volunteers who are working with kids and being in this very like campy mode of the way that I communicate and the tone that I'm using to communicate out, you know, to parents or volunteers is different than when I'm communicating out to donors and making asks for money. 100%. You know, you want to keep the same general messaging, but you know, I'm not using like the camp slang words that we have with our campers, you know, necessarily out to donors. So, honestly, the biggest thing that has helped me is chunking my day, like putting time blocks into my calendar, because there's just so many overlapping timelines that are going on, and like fundraising overlapping timelines and programming overlapping timelines, and then those also overlapping. So making some dedicated time to, I am going to sit down and write this new acknowledgement letter, and that's all I'm going to do for the next 2 hours or whatever, you know, no matter what email pops up. Like, I turn off my email notifications because I just am too distractible to really try and get my brain into being focused, because like the first 15-20 minutes is just getting focused, you know, and not necessarily productive. So trying to
super smart,
yeah, just really set myself up to try and stay focused on one topic at a time.
So when you're doing that, you said, you know, it takes me, you know, like 30 minutes just to get my mind right, just to be able to do that. I think that's something that doesn't get talked about very much.
I think it's realistic. Yeah, it's super realistic.
I know myself, you know, just for all this stuff, it's hard to flip the switch. Uh-huh. I mean,
100%.
You can get better and not with practice. And when the pressure's on, you got to do it, you can do it. But to give that best effort, to put that best thing, putting your mind in there to start thinking about all the things that are going to go into it and what you need to not miss something, is really something that's not thought of. Well,
it's about being patient with yourself. I think, I think of being patient with yourself when that happens, you know what I mean? To get the best out of yourself, being kind to yourself for sure. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I do always, you know, also, yourself. I keep little notepads everywhere. So like, if I am focused on something and something pops into my brain, I just write it down somewhere else so that I can stay focused on the thing that I'm trying to stay focused on. Because when there's so much going on in your brain, it's really easy, at least for me, to get sidetracked and start going down that, you know, train of thought. And then I'll have to refocus myself. That's another 15 minutes, you know? So trying to get things out of my brain into another place where I know I can revisit them, to try and stay on a single topic.
Yeah. Makes total sense.
One thing that is real interesting to me is last year, you know, you had this really fantastic event, and going into it or getting ready for it and kind of getting moving along, there was a lot of, I'm going to use the word doubts. That's me putting that on there. I don't know if that's
the right. Unknowing. That's the
unknown. Unknown. Yeah, exactly. That's a great way. Unknown of going into it, you know, coming out of the wonkiness we'd had for the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
Talk us through that and kind of how you got your head back right for that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, it was a lot of guessing, you know, even from every detail down to, we were thinking, you know, we would maybe have around 150 attendees. And our past galas have had like 280. So we were like, are people going to want to come back in the room? We don't know. So it's just so much guesswork. And then having to adapt when your guesswork is maybe not right. So we had almost right away 10 tables sold or 20 tables sold. So we were at 200 attendees. And then we were like, okay, can we adjust? What are we okay being at? So it's like guessing, adapting, reevaluating, making a new plan, adapting again when that new plan isn't working. So it's just like the kind of constant flexibility to have a plan, but not be so tied down to that plan that you're not willing to adjust and meet what, I mean, our community was telling us they were ready to be back in person and they wanted to attend this event. So who are we to tell them no? You know, that's why we're doing the event, is to have our community there. So if they want to be there, then let's meet them where they're at.
I don't know if it was exactly equal parts or if we even need to assign like a percentage to it, but you know, Becky, it had to be, you know, once again, a layer of people were ready to be in person and to participate. But also, do you think in hindsight that you probably did a really, really great job, you and your team, of conveying the message of the mission and the kind of work that you do for children and stuff like that as well? And like, you know, how much of that was, you had a lot of time, for instance, or maybe you focused on that, or tell us whether you did or you didn't, or maybe, you know, you're self-auditing, you know, did you do a great job of conveying the message of the mission? Because I have a feeling that you did.
Yeah, I think it kind of went hand in hand. So we had done a family camp in the summer of 21, and then 22 summer, we returned to our regular in-person kids camp. So we kind of wove that messaging in through, hey, we're returning to in-person gala to prepare us for returning to in-person camp. And here's all the reasons why. Family camp was great, but kids only camp is what we really are good at and what our kids really need. And so tying all of that messaging in together, I think, yeah, was definitely important.
So good.
I want to ask this question because I use this a lot as an analogy, and it's not because of anybody. It's just really simple to do. I'll say, you know, if we're raising money and we want to send 100 kids to camp, cost $1,000, we're going to raise 100,000. How many kids do you want to sponsor? Did you guys use anything like that where you were talking about the individual kids getting camp ready and doing it that way? I'm just curious because I use that as an analogy a lot.
No, it's a great question. And we do sometimes. We don't always use the direct, like, send a kid to camp kind of messaging. What we'll do is say, you know, $5,000 covers the lodging for two cabins of kids. Like, we break it down kind of into the things as opposed to the kids. So, like, you know, I don't know, it's like $1,000 is all the t-shirts for camp, and this much money will go towards arts and crafts, and a bit more on the items versus the actual kids. Having said that, one of our levels, our $10,000 level, we say sponsor 10 kids at kayak camp is what we say for that level. So we try to mix it up. So it's not only send one kid, send two kids, send three kids. And it also gives us that opportunity to call out. We do different camps. Like, we do a ski camp, we do a kayak camp, we do our summer camp, to be able to say, hey, this much pays for the lessons that ski camp kids take on the mountain. To highlight our different programs that way.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.